used to work.
All right, we're going to call to order this October 4th meeting of the Statewide Internet Portal Authority. I am not Representative Cadman. The representative is busy on some business that takes him away from the meeting today, so I'm going to fill in for Representative Cadman. So let's have a roll call.
Here.
Excuse.
Michael.
Here.
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 Yes, excused.
Here.
Excused.
Court.
Excused.
Senator May.
Here.
Here.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, you know, Maroney's had open heart surgery, and he's had a hard time recovering. Has anybody heard anything lately on him, or is he better?
Just talked to him at the last meeting, and he said he was doing
great. Greg, did he call?
Not that I know of.
Did we make sure he had an internet connection in, or did he give me a listen in?
I assume we have internet connection.
Yes.
Yeah. Teach him how to do it.
Or streaming. Okay, next is the introduction of the audience. I assume that sheet is still going around, so why don't we go ahead and skip to the approval of the September 6th, 2007 minutes. Do I have a motion?
Move approval. Outstanding job on the minutes.
And a second. Approval and second from Glassman. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll show those minutes approved. How are we doing with the sign-in sheet? Greg, sir, we'll go ahead and go to the business committee report, and then let's get back to the sign-in sheet.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Couple of announcements to make. First of all, you're going to see some of the nicest handing off in just a moment as you've ever seen on a report here. But thank you, Sarah, for taking the minutes today. Kathy is on her way to Chicago to participate in the Chicago Marathon. And I said, well, why couldn't you leave after the meeting? And she said, my husband made the reservations. I said, that's an excuse, but so that's where Kathy is. I would also like to announce that Representative Cadman asked me to formally report that he has named Kent Glassman as business committee chair, and Kent has accepted. So I will hand off the business report to our new chair.
Thank you very much. Strange how these things happen, but exciting as they are. The business committee, and indeed the committee structure for SIPA, many of the committees have not been used for some time, and it depends on kind of the maturity of both the portal and the activities that we need to take on. The business committee, I think, has a very aggressive fall ahead of it. And I studied this decision for about 3 weeks to make sure I understood what we all had in front of us. And I think I should start with telling you all who's on the business committee, because some of you might have chosen to forget or might have just skipped your mind. But currently, Jack Arrowsmith, Bob Feingold, Greg Jenick, Bill Hobbs, Mike Lokaitis, Don Mattes, Ron Osga, Rebecca Davis, and Greg Rippey make up this committee. And I believe there are only two or three other committees, most of them standing because they're not utilized all the time. think the reason I was asked to chair this, and especially at this point in time, there's a couple of decision points and some planning that the business committee needs to do. In our contract with CI, it does state that SIPA will create an annual business plan. And the business plan last year, I have a hard copy here, we'll get that to you, those of you who are going to participate. This business plan really sets the direction for what we expect our executive director and CI to do in the coming year. And it's closely tied, and should be, to the contract with CI. It should be closely tied to the business plan that CI writes. They write a separate one, but the two obviously need to be congruent. And it also needs to be and take into effect what Governor Ritter and the Office of Innovation and Technology are doing and what Mike Lukaitis is doing.
Information
technology. It used to be innovation, didn't it? We're not innovative anymore.
No. Change the law. Change the law.
Thank you, Senator. So this fall, we're looking at doing a retreat for our next meeting, which will come up in a little while, a half-a-day retreat next month. Part of what we need to do is put together the structure by which we're going to write the business plan for the coming year. As I said, we're going to need to review CI's business plan. Both of those aren't due until January, until the new year. But I know if we wait till December and I take my Christmas holiday, we're going to scramble fast in about 2 or 3 days to try and write this thing. Not the way this should play out. I have a meeting next week with Ron Houston, who is the state's enterprise architect, to talk a little bit about the EA plan. And I'll be meeting with Mike Lukaitis as well to get his input so that we merge these two documents.
I want you to know we're still very innovative. So it's been stricken from our title.
We'll put two eyes in there. We also have upcoming, and you'll hear this report in a moment. I'm going to defer to the North Island folks, but the business portal feasibility study is on time and on budget, and we're going to have a great deal of information coming on about November 15th. Now, that's after our retreat, but before we need to write our business plan. And the business plan needs to incorporate a lot of what North Island has to tell us about that feasibility study. So those are the five things: the retreat, the SIPA business plan, the CI business plan, the CI contract, the business portal feasibility study, and the symmetry with what's happening out of the governor's office. I'm trying to mold all of those things into a plan, and I will be contacting each of you that were on that committee before to see what kind of time and resources you have. I am not great at reading contracts or bylaws, and so I need some specific expertise in that regard. I'm a little bit better at merging what is the OIT plan and our plan and looking at what CI has done to date. So prior to the retreat, which is scheduled for November 1st, I will be contacting you, and we may have a meeting roughly 2 weeks. I know what it's like to try and coordinate all of your calendars, so we'll see what we should do from there.
Sooner the better.
Sooner the better.
Yeah.
I would open this to questions. If there are anything else, I give you this report in the form of an agenda for what we're going to be moving through. If anybody has any questions or any additions to what this business committee needs to be doing, I'm open to doing that, to hearing that, either today or please give me a call. I think, too, that the business committee has traditionally been one of the more active committees, and we'll be bringing the recommendation of the business plan to the committee of the whole, to this board. So the more input we have in drafting this and pulling together these pieces, the better off we're going to be. Mr. Ruby?
Kent, in what you were saying there, don't get hung up on contract and bylaws, because that's why we have Richard, and that is going to be part of our retreat, is having Richard speak to us about not only the contract but the organic statute that gives us our... So we're working on that already, Richard and myself, and we're going to have a bylaws meeting before next, on October 19th, I believe, actually. Right. Richard and I are scheduled to get there, so hopefully we can take some of that off your task list.
Peg, do you have any anticipation you'd need any statute changes?
That's one of the things we're going to be discussing. I don't have an opinion on it right now, but now's the time to do it if we're going to get it.
Mike and I are working on some legislation already, so
okay.
Probably wouldn't be hard to put it in there.
Two things. One, in regard to the contract and the bylaws, thank you very much. I'm glad to be relieved of at least part of that. But I also noticed within the contract there's certain actions that this board needs to take, and I just want to make sure that we incorporate those pieces. So if council would help me identify those and then address them, it would be a great tool to us.
You bet.
And then the second thing is just a quick business portal feasibility update by North Highland.
Second hand
wherever
off.
You'd like to speak.
Karen, thanks. Just adding to what Kent already said, project is going very well. We're on time, on budget currently. And as of today, we've finished our scoping sessions with all the agencies that we intended to talk with. And next week, we're having a session that's going to be cross-functional. That's going to include revenue and labor and employment. We're also trying to get some Secretary of State participation there, more as a subject matter expert than as a direct party involved in the CR100, which is the new business setup form that gets handed off between the two, between revenue and labor and employment. So trying to do a little bit of a deeper dive on that process to see what efficiencies or, you know, things we can do on the front end to maybe help the process and also make it more straightforward for the citizens. That's where we are. Any questions?
Thank you. I will just mention that Dr. Feingold, Rippy, myself, and Dan meet with North Highland every Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, and we go into this with a great deal of detail. And this morning, we really learned that the departments came very ready, well prepared at this point, and are really given us some good substance to work with, which is fabulous. So for those of you whose departments are involved, thank you. Looks like it's moving nicely. That's it.
Thank you. I'm sure we'll be talking about our retreat further in the meeting, but I did bring some information. I only printed one copy because we're very frugal in Douglas County. This is a little bit of information about Here's clubhouse. It was built in 1908. It is on a historic marker, and I give where it is, and a little bit about the club. So I hope you'll enjoy. Several people have signed up the list and want to be recognized. We'll give you a second if you'd like to say hi or say anything to our group at this point. Bill Lambert. No comment, but welcome, okay? Ron Lazaga. Yeah. Nice to see you, Ron. Tim Walker?
Walker.
Walker. Ooh, that's an R, I'm sorry.
We'll say it with an accent next time.
Walker.
Ben Wanger?
Wanger.
Yeah, Wanger. Jill, and I'm probably going to mess up the name. Why is it? Oh. Trevor Timmons, Brett Mueller, Becky Davis, hi Becky. Very good. Welcome to everybody. Thanks for coming today. Hey, great. Well, the record show that the project has
somewhere in Douglas County. Yeah, I'm sure it doesn't have an address.
We missed at least
two. Oh, sir.
Hey, Jack, okay. Does this place have an address I can put in my GPS?
It does. Here's the
business portal. We're just passing it around, I guess.
Here's actually a map on
the second. There's a roll along, aren't you?
Very interesting. Okay. Mr. Rippey, Finance Committee.
I won't.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You have in your packet the P&L and the balance sheet as presented. The pertinent facts are this month, or month of August rather, shows a loss of $620. Two things that roll into that for a monthly loss. If you look, we've added New North Highland under professional fees. That is actually July and August billing, and so that we're not over budget. That just represents 2 months instead of 1 month, but it was billed in 1 month. And then a three payroll month. We have two of those during the year, and so that's the other non-normal. For year to date, we're still above ahead of schedule through July and August. And I did change the budget to reflect what Mr. Morris requested last month.
It looks like, Greg, that our assets are in a checking account. That's
correct.
Is that correct? Should we start some other long-term investment tool?
I believe we should, and I've had that discussion. I think we should identify a percentage of that to put into some.
I'd look into an entity like Hollow Trust, that's likely the assets liquid. But that's just one suggestion.
Let me bring back some proposals on that next month.
Well, that brings us to the Executive Director's update. Mr. Rippey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. September was a good month. One of the highlights certainly for me was the meeting that Mr. Lokaitis, Representative Cadman, and myself had with the governor to discuss the portal. And somebody asked me how the meeting went. I said, well, we spent a good 30 minutes telling each other how great we were. And really, that's not far off the mark of how our discussion went. But the governor, and through the help of Mike, clearly sees that the opportunities that this portal can provide in helping him achieve his stated goals. And I just thought it was an incredible meeting. And Mike, thank you for making that happen. Very positive.
In the meeting, we also acknowledged Senator Mays as well. He was out of the country partying.
In Chinese food.
One of the other meetings that we had this month, Senator May and myself presented at the Government Digital Summit. We had a breakout session. The portal was acknowledged in the governor's opening remarks and at Mayor Hickenlooper's lunchtime remarks. And so I think as a board, you are all headed the right direction. Doesn't mean there won't be some hiccups, but thank you for that, and please know that you're being noticed out there. We had a full room at that meeting. In fact, there were people standing in the back. The summit overall had great numbers, more than they've had in the previous couple years, and everything I heard as I was talking to people, they felt it was a very worthwhile summit this year.
I was a little disappointed that we didn't have more private sector people there.
There was very little private sector. When Senator May asked how many of you are state agency, how many are county, how many are city, and it was about equal third to third, he says, how many private sector? Zip. At least in our session. But I'd say it was mostly public employees.
Certainly work on that next year, although we did more than double the attendance this year. That shows generally the excitement around public sector IT, the new governor and administration, and certainly the work that's being done in this boardroom with the authorities. So we'll try to get more private sector people next year.
Also, I think it was mostly all
a problem.
Denver Med Area people. So I don't think we reached very far outside of the Med Area. Fill that up too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we did.
Several CIOs from other states in the state of Montana.
I had members of my staff and myself both attending. A little bit frightening. How digital government is under attack. But,
Rippy?
That, Mr. Chairman, didn't it make you feel good as we had that security briefing, knowing that we have a portal that is certified by a third-party tester, and that we are doing our best at risk management on that. I would like to talk just real briefly about the status of the testing that we have going on that SysTest is providing on applications, as well as load testing. One of the ones we're just about ready to start testing on is the driver's license renewal. We are this close to getting the auto scripts that we want to do on the testing of it. SysTest has been very accommodating, and I had a meeting with them earlier last week to begin the discussions about their contract, which expires in March, and I will have more input for you at the retreat regarding that. So the testing is doing what we had hoped it would. It's finding some issues that we have. We did identify some load issues on one application, and we are installing a different load balancer in there to take care of it. And so that's going very well. As most of you know, later this month, a number of us will be attending the NIC partner meeting back in Portland. One of the conversations that I had with Mr. Glassman on this was what we should have as a takeaway to bring back to the board from some of that. So if any of you that aren't going to be attending have something that you say, I wish I knew how this was being handled in other states, talk to Senator May, Mr. Glassman, Mr. Lokaitis, myself, and we'll get that answer. If we have some direct takeaways, we'll go after them and find the appropriate people in the appropriate states to try and find out some of those answers. The retreat. I've had some conversation with a couple of the board members, and as I've been trying to put together the scope of what I think would be helpful, it looks something like this, and Mike, you're going to find you have a role in this retreat. Sorry for the early heads up. How I would like this to look is to start out with Mr. Westfall giving us a background of the organic statute and some of the interpretations that he has of the statute and how we really legally operate and what we can do and what we cannot do. I would like to move from that then to look at the previous business plans that have been implemented. It gives a very clear continuum of where we've come from and the things that we've checked off and the things that we've got done in those other business plans. Then I would like to have Mr. Lokaitis speak to his initiative on consolidation so that we can begin to see the opportunities that this portal will have with where he's going with the Office of Information and Technology to try and put it in perspective. That I would like to, those of you that have been here for longer have seen the risk management matrix that I had presented almost 18 months ago. I think it's time to revisit that and see what I identify as risk to success of the portal, both technical, political, and I think it's time to review that again and put it in perspective. And then spend some time speaking about where do we want to go? What kind of direction do we want to give Mr. Glassman and the business committee to start working on this business plan? So it's a very logical where we came from, where we are, and where we'd like to get to. That being said, I have concern over whether a half a day is sufficient to achieve those tasks. Talking with Mr. Glassman, I throw out the idea of we're planning on taking the day anyway. First half for retreat business, second half for business of the authority. I've talked with Mr. Westfall. We can, by action today, say we're going to have a vote and we're not going to hold a business meeting that day. We would still fill up the day as we would have anyway, but without a formal public portal authority meeting. So I throw that out. It would require a vote of the board to, first of all, if you want me to just still try and keep it at half a day, we'll, and we can have the public meeting, or we can have a little bit more flexibility and by vote of this board not have a public board meeting that date.
What time do you expect us to gather there? 8:30?
Probably 9 is that the best, Jack, for trying to go up and down I-25?
Probably if we just said not a bad idea.
So I would say 9, Senator.
Well, our board meetings usually take about an hour and a half. If we did our public board meeting at, say, 10:30, then that would give us an hour and a half to work on retreat issues. And the public people or whatever, if they wanted to come, we could have a public board meeting at 10:30 and they could depart while we have lunch or whatever, and then we could come back with our retreat all afternoon or even into the night if you wanted to do that.
I'm not sure the rest of the board would, but into the night.
Well, we need to do what we need to do.
I'm at your disposal.
I'd rather do that than to have another day.
We wouldn't have another day. We could just not have a board meeting in the month of November. And we can do it by vote of this board in a public meeting 30 days prior.
Are we still, isn't the requirement that we have to have the meetings in Denver? Is there some discussion? What's required to happen at this monthly meeting? Is there anything in particular that's required to happen by the...
Not by statute. What the statute said is the business of the portal will be conducted at a meeting.
Okay, so why don't we just call it whatever we want to call it and still meet?
I think there's
public versus not
open meetings issues. If we're calling it a public meeting, then that's which is separate from board retreat. And of course, we can't take any actions, and that's the difference. We can't take any votes. We can't take any actions that would require us to do anything.
Okay, well, we could convene the public meeting for half an hour. Get the minutes approved and
we
move
can.
On with lives. We don't have to have an hour and a half, 2 hour public meeting. Right?
I would suggest if that's what we do, we try and streamline this meeting very, very much so.
Is it a motion generally to shorten all of these meetings, or is it just
that's in your corner?
Well, I don't know that a motion is required. We simply would ask that the draft agenda be as short as possible for the next meeting and be incorporated into whatever the rest of the retreat is.
And the meeting to be held at LeVere's.
Sure, wherever LeVere's is. I haven't seen the map yet. So. All right. So that's my motion, that we hold the meeting at LeVere's, wherever, somewhere in Douglas County.
It's on the map.
Okay, well, as presented in the documents in front of me, which will be part of the record.
Second.
Any discussion?
That was Senator May with the
second.
Well, I guess we do this more out of deference to the people in the audience that want to come hear us. And I guess I just ask you all, is there some piece of this agenda that you are so moved by that we should take special efforts to make sure we cover that and you don't have to drive to Levere's to hear this?
Could I look at that for 1 minute?
Or are you just here because you're supporting us in the great state of Colorado? Thank you for that. I'm not sure. You know, we never take votes. We rarely take votes. We don't have anything on this agenda that's going to be missed. So I just want to, you know, make sure you guys get what you want in an open and meaningful fashion. And if there's nothing else there, then I'm all for this motion. And hearing no comments from the gallery, we'll see you in December.
But you're advancing a different motion, right? Not to have a board meeting, but to have a retreat.
No, I'm with Rico's. I just want to make sure that whatever's on our agenda doesn't, you know, that you all don't miss some very important piece of work we might.
Yeah. Is that the interstate?
No, no, it's not.
Highway 85.
Highway 85.
Yeah. In the facility that you're proposing that we meet, is there the ability to have, or do we need to have, facilitating the web address?
This goes between the western side.
Where people can log in and hear the meeting? Is that a requirement?
No, certainly not.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No. And we will not have those facilities.
Okay.
Very old building.
Just make sure
we're going to be on the roof and proclaiming.
Make sure the outhouse is well equipped.
So if we have a motion, and if I can maybe restate the motion. Is that we will meet in Levere's for our November meeting, that we will have a very abbreviated public meeting at some point determined, I guess, by Greg and staff as to when that meeting will take place, and then the remainder of the meeting will be dedicated to our retreat.
That's beautiful.
Okay. Greg.
Since we're doing this, let's identify the public meeting at 9 a.m.
9 a.m.?
Okay. Yes.
So from 9 to whatever short period of time we would have the public meeting on that, and we would adjourn from the public meeting at 2 p.m. Is that acceptable?
Sure.
All right, all those in favor signify by saying
aye.
Opposed, same sign. Looks like that passes, so we will need to move that.
We'll still get a report from CI, right? Even if he doesn't give it orally, we get what we normally get.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Rippey, anything else on the executive?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. Okay, that brings us to the general manager's report. Please welcome Dan Morris.
And continuing what I hope is going to be a tradition at the board meeting each month, I've asked one of our staff members to give you a short overview of a new service that we've launched in the last 30 days. And Mr. Chairman, if it pleases you, I will have her go now, and then I'll follow up with her presentation with the GM report.
Is this a newly married person?
This is a newly married person. Her name was Jill Janicki, and now she has married Mr. Will Hoyt, and so now she is Jill Will Hoyt.
Do you find a Smith or a Jones?
Yeah.
I had no input in that decision whatsoever.
Just the first 50 years that are tough, you know.
As Dan mentioned, we wanted to give you an overview of some of the services that we're providing, and last month we talked about sex offender lookup. So this month we decided to go with something that was live, which is the constituent services. Go ahead to the next slide. Basically, what happened was the governor's office came to us and they wanted something to make it easier for the public to be able to share an opinion, request a congratulatory letter, request a wedding congratulatory letter, things like that. So we put together this site with their help. It's basically got easy sign up and removal on those two links there, and then a list of forms. Currently there are 12. And we are currently working on increasing that to 15. I've got a list of all of the forms that are offered to people, and also in other letter requests. From
show you where you can access this from. We're definitely trying to reach people in different directions. So we have various links where they can direct or go directly to the forms. For example, have other links, for example, right to the governor here, which takes over. So the point of this is just to show that we have a lot of touch points where they can contact us, and we try to make it very simple for people to get in touch with the governor's office.
I'd share your opinion link or write to Evan's email.
Sure. That's very doable.
That'd be cool.
I'm sure he'd like
that.
And I wanted to kind of give you an idea of what the forms look like. So we put in two here. This one in particular is the wedding anniversary one. Yeah, I kind of had to throw in there. Jill and John, well, you kind of enter your information. Contact information page. Entered. You can edit and go back if you submit it. That'll then take you to the appropriate governor's email that they've given. So we're able to set up if we need to. Next slide is the proclamation example. And here it's been Elizabeth. So we have a month of January 2008 for us. Same exact flow. Just kind of wanted to show you how you enter your information, contact information, you review it, and then it goes to the submission page. And then to give you an overview of the benefits, it's a dynamic online form, so you can request various letters, proclamations, etc. It's an automated response, which creates the ID, and it requests automatically delivered in email format to the appropriate contact, which the difference of this is we've been able to set up different emails, so point of one generic email, like Evan, it now goes to different emails, deal and handle responses. Currently, I actually looked in our backup email, which we log. There have been 1,000 responses.
What do you do when an issue comes up that floods the system? Last time I went to see the governor, he was a little bit late, and I sat outside watching the secretary. He was taking phone calls just as fast as she could do it and write it down. I don't even remember what the issue was, but it must have been pretty hot because she had about 6 pages of names and numbers that she had responded to. So, you know, if you get a hot subject and they start bombing you, is there some way you can shut it down? Or they can flood you, seriously. They do it to me all the time in the legislature.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, just a point of clarification, this is not a system that allows free-form input. Or is it? You have to basically select from one of the 12 choices.
Yeah.
But share your opinion is one of them.
Yeah, the share your opinion.
Okay,
so
your
you
opinion.
Are allowed to share your opinion and put that in there, but it's really not going to do much to our system, and it would just be to the person that would. We do have a clause in there saying that we cannot individually guarantee every request that we get. So that it kind of covers us in that case. And also on the front page, we do.
Can they leave a message without asking for a response?
Yeah.
That's where you'll get flooded.
Well, they can leave a message, but they still have to enter their contact information. It's not necessarily, everybody who puts something in isn't necessarily going to get a response, and especially the share your opinion, that's more, we're communicating to you. A lot of those people aren't typically asking. But if they want one, they can request one.
I've seen personally, and I'm only one legislator, I've seen personally as many as 60 emails a day on a subject.
Which is why this application act is actually pretty good, because it does separate into categories. So it's not bombarding one person now as it was before. It's actually going to 4 or 5 or 6 different email addresses.
Shoot. Terrific.
Senator, you obviously didn't have to... have in committee the prairie dog bills, because you got a lot more than 60 a day on the prairie dogs.
They delivered them to my backyard. You remember that? At 2:30 in the afternoon.
The prairie Baldwin, dogs?
They delivered the prairie dogs to my house.
Oh. I think the key to remember is that your points are well taken, but this is the governor's office that says we want to be accessible to citizens. And so we're responding to their request on how they think they want to handle that flow of information back and forth. We don't think we have structure problems in that it's going to down our server.
Okay.
They may overwork their staff on particular issues, but that's one they're going to have to find out how they deal with it. So that's, we're giving the customer what they ask for.
Thank you very much.
That's what every day is.
Strangest little old things are what tweaks them too, you know?
I'll turn this off. Just close the top?
Yeah, that'll work.
Okay. Blue screen. All right. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And I hope we'll do another one next month. We will not do another one next month because next month is the abbreviated meeting. You'll have a general manager's report, but we'll forego the presentation. You have before you the September 2007 general manager's report. I would also like to acknowledge Aaron and the CI staff who essentially put this report together without me being present. I've been on the road for a week or so, and they did a great job putting this report together. So Aaron, bail me out here if I get into the deep water. September was a good month. We spent a lot of the month on CMS activity. We've trained a lot of new agency folks on our CMS system, and as you can see from Jill's presentation, that was one of four websites that we launched in the CMS in the month of September, which is probably a banner month for us in terms of numbers of new sites launched. You heard the Business One-Stop report from North Highland. We were very active in that endeavor with Jill and with Jill Weisbrod, and we look forward to continuing those meetings in this month to get some more clarity as to where the opportunity lies in that Business One-Stop proposed project. And also during the month of September, we did some maintenance and upgrades on existing apps that we had previously launched. If you turn to the next page, page four, you'll see some screenshots of the sites that we launched in the month of September. I think that the look and feel of our website is just terrific, and this is coming from a person who's seen a whole lot of state government websites. I think we ought to be proud of the way our Colorado look and feel is deploying across the web, especially with these new executive branch websites. So kudos to my team who's putting this together and the creative guys. Turning to page five, this is our regular project timeline presentation. You asked last month that we include whether the apps listed here are free or fee. And you'll see we've added a column there by the status column indicating for the given application whether it's a free application, that is to say whether there's no fee charged by CI to either the agency or the public, and which ones there will be a transaction fee related to. If you count them up, there's 18 free ones and 14 fee ones, which I'm really happy about because we'd like to keep that balance at about 50-50 or even higher towards the free than the fee. So I think we're doing a good job of maintaining our balance in that regard. There's more detail on these, as always, in Appendix B. I've taken the tack since I've been here of trying to keep all those details in the appendix where you can find them if you want them. But for quick digestion, this format seems to be working out pretty well.
7B. Dan and Greg. Number two there, the online vehicle registration.
Yes.
It's growing like mad.
Paso County is increasing at about 4% a month. And they have done, since their implementation, 20,000 online registrations. There are some reasons why people don't use it, and that might be worth surveying a little bit to find out why they don't use it. They use all kinds of excuses. Some like to have the sticker in their hand. They're not sure it's going to arrive to them in the mail or whatever it's going to be. So there might be some ways we could overcome the objections of those who don't use it.
Sure.
But it's really reducing the lines in the motor vehicle
great to
offices,
hear.
Yeah.
And we're launching four more counties this month.
Same thing I might add to that, I don't know whether there's a full moon over the weekend or what transpired.
There was.
Doug Patrick, that was it. Douglas County, the highest number of transactions over a week. Friday through Sunday, processed on Monday, was 255, I believe. On Monday, 400. Spike.
One question I'd like to ask you about that, though, is what do you have in mind for moving this to people who live in smaller counties who don't have the capability of doing it in that county? Do you have some way of running them through DOR or consolidating them with other counties?
Well, I can't speak for Roxy, but Rebecca Davis is our project liaison for that project, and the plan is... was always, and we have followed through with that, to get the Front Range counties first so we've got the larger population counties covered. So we're doing about 16,000, 17,000 renewals per month across the what will be 15 counties when we launch the next four. Next year, we will batch the smaller counties together and try to roll them out and continue our pattern of rolling out three or four counties a month. There may be a way that we can accelerate that and do more per month, but also the barrier you run into is that the smaller counties are less able to dedicate some staff time to help give you the data file that you need, because it's important to remember that each county has to physically transmit us a data file so that we can do the online renewal. So we're going to continue our efforts to market the service to the counties and help them get the transactions online. But it may be slower going than we hope.
Regardless of the online renewal or mail or going in, each county has to fulfill the renewal themselves. Is
yes,
that right?
That's right.
It's not all done for the state in one central location.
I think each county mails out their tabs to the customer. That's right.
Well, there's some fees involved in that the county gets off the top, too. Is it all the same in every county, or?
I'll have to defer to Roxy on that question. I think it varies.
Yeah, it is. Statutory.
It's the same in all the counties.
So even if you consolidated, that county, by statute, is still, if they're part of the fee.
This may be a question for the clerk of Douglas County. One of the questions I don't know on this, and I've been meaning to ask it for all week, is fleet renewals. Are people going to be able to do fleet renewals? I mean, can they now? So, you know, when I renew, I have like 200, and it's kind of, and if you look what I get from the clerk, they give me the list, and then I go through and then have, and it'd be really nice to have the capability of the clerk being able to electronically transmit that out and then allow us to do a fleet renewal. It'd be so slick. Just keep adding. Sure.
You have to know the tag numbers.
We know the tag numbers.
Becky, there was a bill passed in the legislature within the last few years in regards to fleet registrations. And I think businesses who maybe are headquartered in one county or the Med area or whatever can register their vehicles they got all over the state. I know we worked with Quest on that because they've got vehicles to heck and gone every place. So I assume you're complying with the law, or maybe we need to change it. I don't know. Somebody needs to review that on the fleet complete registration and see if we need to change something that would make that more attractive to do it online. UPS, they got vehicles all over the state.
If we determined that there were so many fleets and such a demand for this online service that it could be justified, we could fairly easily add a function that was designed specifically for fleet operators to input their tag numbers en masse, validate those, and then allow them to check out a little easier than it would be to go through the loop 150 times for your 150 vehicles. Right now, that capability is there, but it's not, it's not necessarily designed. Sir?
That's a great idea.
But I think the proof is in the pudding. When we have a little history here, we'll find out.
Yeah, I just want to make sure, though, if a county hasn't establish themselves yet as using a service, can these license plates then be renewed?
Not online, no.
So it's only the fleet that is within the county that is already established.
Only vehicles registered in that county would be eligible.
West example wouldn't, you know, if they're out in Lincoln County or what have you, they wouldn't be able to.
But I would guess they register all in one county, even though the vehicle may never see that county.
That's true.
Some of them do, some of them.
If it were me, I would, but I can't say that.
It's in the legislation that we passed in regard to that. I mean, we've kind of pounded this around before. It used to have to go to each county, whatever vehicles they had there. But you don't know if that vehicle is going to stay in that county, right? I mean, they depends on where they're working or what they're doing. So I think Dan's got a good idea to look into that. I don't know where it would be on your priority list, but.
Well, those types of services that are so business-facing are perfect second-tier apps for the business portal. We're going to have a business relationship with the state of Colorado, and we have a business one-stop. That type of functionality is exactly what we would conceive to make that business's interaction more easier to have. So as we get more traction with the vehicle renewal, we'll hear from the vehicle, the fleet owners, or maybe we could ask Becky and Roxy to help us identify some likely candidates. We'll talk to them and see what they think. Page 7 shows you the graphics of what the motor vehicle renewal traffic has looked like this year since January. The top graph is numbers of renewals online. We're about 17,000 for the month of September, and over almost $2.5 million in renewal fees taken in 1 month. The process is working great. The only limitation is the ability of the county to feed us the data file. Life Help metrics. We're
Senator, you take every credit card too, or?
No. We take MasterCard, Visa right now. We're adding American Express, and we could add Discover to have the third option. Usually, those three are the top three. Okay. We have very few Discovers usually, but Amex gave us a great discount rate, so we're able to add that now. LifeHelp is continuing to be very popular. Thanks to the State Library for backing us up on that, and the staff in the office that are very busy on LifeHelp, around 1,500 LifeHelp transactions per month.
Yes, Bill. Dan, I know you touched upon this last time. Could you explain again, who are the staff? Where do they work? Who employs them? Who pays them?
The CI staff?
No, I mean the LifeHelp staff. Who actually takes?
Well, the CI staff, which are employees of Colorado Interactive LLC, handle the predominant handlers of those LifeHelp interactions during the business day. State Library has another LifeHelp system that they already have in place to help library users around the state online, and we have a handshake arrangement with them to also handle the portal LifeHelp calls, which are after-hours calls. It gets handed off to them automatically. It's seamless. The user can't tell.
You cannot tell it.
and they've been very generous, actually. We haven't paid them anything for that service, and I think we may come, Mr. Chairman, to the point where CI needs to compensate them in some way or help offset some of their cost to operate that system, but that's where it does.
They get paid for that, Dan.
Well, I know
they get appropriated money for that.
They don't get
You're just delivering it a different way. So why should they charge you? They'd be getting paid twice for doing the work.
I'm so glad you brought that up. I'll have to make a note of that the next time they call me and want to sit down and talk about the portal compensating.
Our hope, of course, is that the portal is increasing the volume as people...
Yeah. So then they'll come back to the General Assembly for that. Well, you know, you guys are always teasing me about my promotion of live health. But I do that not for live help, but for use of the Colorado.gov page. That's what I'm trying to do, is direct people to that page. And live help's a good way to get them to use it the first time, for sure.
We're just having a friendly dialogue with those folks, and they've been very helpful to us, and we're always receptive to having that kind of discussion. But I'll remember what you said.
We appropriate money to them every year.
Can I quote you on that?
Sure.
Okay.
Plus the counties do too. The library districts.
That's good to know. Page 9, some more metrics. You can see that our usage stats, the graph on the bottom of the page there, the multicolored line graph, is very clear that our numbers are up for 2007 over 2006.
Shifts up every year.
And you see some fairly interesting patterns in those hit rates, which you can hypothesize what they mean. Most likely they mean, gosh, I don't know what they mean. I would suspect that the March-April numbers may mean tax season.
Dan, if I could ask, on figure 3, the previous year doesn't show as much of an uptrend as I would have thought, especially with the growth of some services like online renewals. Any comment?
Online renewals did not launch until December. So you did not see an online renewal effect on the 2006 numbers. We only had 3 or 4 counties in the month of December 2006.
Two counties.
Oh, okay. Right. Yours was one of them.
Apparently does that
answer
shifting
your question?
It just looks like for the past year we've got about 2 million page views per month, you know, from September 06 and... Even looking at September 07, it's just a little over. I'm surprised that there's not more of a growth overall during in the past year.
I don't know what that score is.
Is that fairly flat, or am I looking at that wrong?
You're right, it is fairly flat, and you see a pretty good bit of variability from month to month. And so with a variance, like if you look at April 07, which is the tallest bar on the graph, I can't tell you why the bar is higher in April 07 than it was in March 07 or December 06. So I think that we're looking at fairly small differences that are just difficult to explain.
Wasn't there a part of an explanation last month that the metrics has also changed, or the way that we're looking at the page?
It's
we have slightly, but we went back in time and adjusted the previous metrics to make sure we're comparing apples to apples.
Important to know. Okay. Well, maybe Senator May wasn't doing as much testing in that month or something.
That's possible. But that's a good question, Bill. Anybody that can read meaning into these variances, come see me. I'd like to know how to do it. That concludes this part of the report. However, I do have the financial report for you. If there are any questions about this part, I'll take them now and move on to financials.
So one other question going back to content management. One of the things that I was wondering about, like for our agency where we have a lot of web pages already, if we start thinking about, you know, migration to the Fatwire tool or something like that, I had the impression that there's no easy way to migrate existing pages. Is that correct?
It depends on what you're using to host your pages now. We're working with Healthcare Policy and Finance to do a migration of their web content into the content management system, and we're hoping that it'll be almost automated because of the format that their data is in. And I can ask Aaron or Mark to speak to that, but the answer to your question is it depends on what you're using to host.
So there might be some automated tools that...
For the textual content, the graphics, yes. If you've got online services, applications that are interactive, that's a different story, and it requires a little more thought and planning to do it. We'd be glad to sit down with you or Trevor and work through that.
Okay. Dan, maybe one of your people can answer this for me. On content management, what's the hang-up of the legislature on this? Is this turf protection issue over there? Because, I mean...
I'll defer to Mr. Griffin.
I have a meeting next Friday with him.
With a meeting who?
With Ledge Council.
Mike.
Yeah.
I'm on Ledge Council.
Let me see. So...
Kirk Malenik is your contact.
Right, and I've talked to Kirk.
And you're getting turf protection from the guys across the street. You know, content management is not something that's going to strap them into something they don't want to do. I mean, it's going to help them with the lousy web page they got. They've got great information, but they don't deliver it very well. I'd be glad to go with you and help you on that if you want.
Sure. Friday, October 12th, room 107, House Committee room.
Who are you meeting with?
I think Kurt and Mike. But, you know, one of the issues we're going to have, we're going to be, and I talked to John Connolly about this a little bit yesterday and asked for his support and backing on trying to move this one forward, but you know, we're halfway through October. There are a lot of third-party applications on there, LexisNexis being one of them. The other thing, we've looked at other states that have lobby in a box where you can put out a application that says, I want to know when this bill gets assigned to committee, and it sends you a text message or an email. And there's a revenue stream there. I've talked to a lot of lobby groups that said, you know, they'd love to have something like that to be able to track legislation. But we're running out of time before January.
Because you get trained in content management doesn't mean you're going to implement it. I mean, they're not even open-minded enough to see what content management can do for them.
Yeah. I'd love to have your support at the meeting.
The whole issue of content management has come up about four times in the last week. Secretary of State, Senator May, DNR, HCPC, right? I'm not sure I understand this whole content management debate. I mean, sometimes this is going to be easy, sometimes it's going to be impossible, sometimes it's somewhere in between. But I think that because we're only a two-year-old portal and this thing's going to be around for eternity, we better figure out what the market looks like and make sure that we're using the tools that are most integratable. Or
that's like Bush, you just made up a word.
Strike the minutes. or better facilitate the needs of the Secretary of State. One thing I'm really interested in the North Highland report is they're going to four different departments, two of which are on FATWARE, two of which are on something else, I think, and to see, okay, what is that gap analysis? What's it going to take in both the FATWARE departments and the non-FATWARE departments? What is that gap analysis? And once we're done with those four, we got 18 more that we're not considering under the business portal, but we're going to be considering facilitating their participation. So I want to know what that gap analysis is. I don't even know how we get to that. So perhaps we have a briefing by your staff, or we get somebody else to talk about kind of content management end-to-end, and what does a mature portal that's been around for many, many years, servicing this broad an enterprise, how does that work?
Okay. Most of our business development staff just spent most of a week last week in Mobile, where the rest of the 20 portals get together once a year. We don't always get together in Mobile, but last week was our yearly meeting.
We had a dedicated breakout session on content management systems because we thought it was important for the other portals that also offer a content management solution get together, compare notes, and see what the take-home message was. Aaron and some of the other staff attended that breakout session. So we do have knowledge about how other states are approaching this. But we are essentially doing that gap analysis you're talking about on a case-by-case basis as agencies come to us or we go out to them. Some of the holdback is turf protection, like Senator May mentioned, where you've got an entrenched number of FTEs inside the agencies that have built these pages. They're using sometimes older tools. They're feeling somewhat threatened by the idea that they might give that function away to the portal and that therefore their jobs might be in jeopardy or sometimes their jobs might change. So that's one factor. Another is the sheer size of some of the agency websites, 30,000 pages of content in an older tool consuming lots of FTE to manage it. And the prospect of moving it to a new framework, which is what our FatWire tool is simply a fairly daunting and time-consuming and laborious task. And we're ready to help, and we're very adroit at customizing an approach that fits the agency's need, depending on how many staff they've got, what their technology framework is. But we haven't done an across-the-board enterprise-level assessment of which agencies are ripe for content management. We're doing it on a case-by-case basis.
And I'm sure you could bog down your staff trying to do that, but like we said with the North Highland, with what they're doing with these four, I hope that they'll come back, and I think they will, with enough information on those four that we can kind of scratch those off, we kind of know where they are, we know that gap, and we come up with a different plan for how we get after the other 14. I have a separate question, if I may. On Appendix C, which is usually on page 15, 16 in that way, it's titled Existing Services and Websites, and it has 80 existing services and websites in September. And I glanced back. I don't know if this is a fair comparison or not, Dan.
Yeah.
But if you compare that to, like, August, there were 76, and Kathy put together a really nice little form here for me so I can go right through these. July, there were 75. So on the surface, it looks like existing services and websites have only increased by about 5 since July. We're doing a lot more work than that, I believe, but explain to me maybe what existing services and websites means.
Yeah, 60.
16.
Good. And
but he's got
that
a separate
number
summary.
Should be going up more quickly, or why it's not going up more quickly.
Well, existing services and websites are those that are launched. In other words, those are the services that you should not find on the
project
on this graphic, because they're live.
Right.
So
okay.
These are the ones in the pipeline. Those are the ones that have launched. So your observation, I actually, to tell you the truth, haven't done the count that you've got. But when a website goes live into production, that counts as a launch service. When we roll out a new, like the one that Jill demoed for us today, when we roll out a new interactive service, that counts as a delivered service. However, and maybe this is something we need to count differently, when we roll out a new county, four new counties, that's adding four new counties to an existing service. It took just as much work to get them as it does to launch four, but we're not counting them as four. It's already been counted. So we're possibly shortchanging ourselves in the counting exercise by not counting each new county as a new app. So I'm not concerned that the pace is slow. Sometimes some of these apps take a long time to develop, as you can see from those timelines. So we're not going to see three new applications every month. It's going to be lumpy. You'll see new websites. You'll see services that are maintained and tweaked and relaunched. We don't count the relaunches either. You know, we'll add a change to the measurement standards and device licensing application for agriculture, add a new feature to it, but that doesn't count either, even though it's just as time consuming as writing code for a new application. So over the life cycle of the portal, as we get into the later years, we'll be spending a proportionately larger amount of our time maintaining applications as we will be building new applications. And that's one of the challenges for the portal, is to keep reinvesting, adding new staff, so we can keep our momentum up launching new services.
Got it. So I have a comment and a question. Based on your answer, if we move forward with the business portal, it actually would only add one. But the amount of work that you guys are doing and the number of people, the number of citizens it would touch would be huge.
Right.
Right? So, I'm trying to figure out, you know, this whole metrics about web shots and page shots, like, I don't care. That doesn't really tell me anything. And but what I am interested in is, you know, 4.8 million citizens using the portal, right? And getting to the apps that touch a whole lot of those bodies. So thank you for the explanation of that. Also, your page 5, the project time frame, they obviously move off of this and onto Addendum C.
As they're launched.
That's correct. They're launched.
Yes.
Got it. So the one thing that I don't see in here is how often you all are approached or SIPA is approached with just brand new things. Does everything either fall on page 5? Or, I got to think there's a whole bunch of stuff that's kind of sitting out here in purgatory somewhere, right?
That's really at the top of page 6, so the ones that are in discussion. If the project's far enough along that we've had a couple of meetings and we're working on the paperwork to get the project officially in the pipeline, they fall here. You won't see any timelines on them because, you know, we're still talking about them. But these are the official apps that the portal's in meaningful discussion with the department.
Got it. And then there'd be maybe a third category of departments that are thinking about being prepared to approach you with an app, but they're just not there yet.
Yeah, and we wouldn't know who they are.
Although,
primarily, the initial point of contact is very often the SIPA office, wanting to talk about an EGE or interacting with Greg or Kathy about a project that they'd like to have.
Got it. My line of questioning on that is really to judge how quickly are we getting requests, moving them to page 5, moving them to page 15, and then growing that. What should we expect this thing to be in 3 years or 5 years? And it's hard to tell. That's okay. So my last question would be, when we go to Portland and we're meeting with other folks that are running these portals, I'd love to see people that have been in this business 4 or 5 years and ask them where they were in year two and how they got from year two to year four.
Sure.
And what kind of reporting metrics really were meaningful to them so that they could judge, like the infrastructure that Senator May was talking about and Greg earlier. Are the servers big enough? Are we getting too many hits? Are we going to have, you know, huge flows?
But there are lots of metrics that one could use to gauge how well the portal's doing. Is it self-supporting financially? How many services per month that are interactive and not websites do we launch on the average during a year? How many websites do we launch? What's the reliability factor? How much uptime or how much downtime do we have as a measure of the portal's infrastructure capability? How many subscribers do we have? What's the transaction count in a given month? How many page views do we have on the website? There are lots of metrics that collectively should be able to give the board a feeling for how well the portal is doing. To my knowledge, nobody has formularized that into, you know.
Now, he just made up a word.
I was
talking
about that.
Formularized.
So, you know, there's no straightforward answer to What numbers can we look at to tell how well the portal's doing, or if we're moving things through the pipeline fast enough? I'd be glad to work with the board on that.
Kent, I've asked this question in a somewhat different manner of Dan before, and I posed it this way. I says, here's NIC. They've got 20 portals out there that they operate. From the corporate back in Overland or Olathe, wherever they call home, how do they view Colorado? What do they think of the success? And the answer comes back from Dan that we're considered somewhat of a shining star within the corporation with how fast we've got to the number of services and what we're doing. Part of it's our governance model, I believe. Part of it is we've got a great team here in Colorado. But I feel pretty good about it from trying to compare with other states that have been out there longer than us. And when to add to that, Arizona has some great things out there, but NIC just took over their portal down there. A previous vendor had it, and they were bringing up, I think, about 5 applications a year. So, I don't. That's a metric like this.
You know, anecdotally, this is the time of the year when all the portals do their annual business plan for corporate headquarters. And that's the tactical plan where we identify the services that we know we're going to launch and we try to prognosticate how much revenue they're going to bring in for the next 12 months. Usually, general managers are very gun-shy about putting stuff like that on paper because in this business, as you all know so well, things don't always move at a steady pace through the development pipeline. Lots of things can come up, including statutory changes or the staff member you're working with retires, or there's any number of things that can cause the project to move slower. But somewhere between 12 and 24 services a year as a thumbnail win gauge. If at the end of the year we haven't launched 12 services that are true interactive services, not websites, I'd be a little disappointed. But that's just me talking to you from my own internal perspective. About an interactive service a month with a staff of 5 developers, which is what we have, is a pretty good pace, considering all the work that goes into the front end of that development. Spec building, testing, all those things that you have to do. So about 12 to 24 a month, but then that's just a thumbnail gauge.
My last metrics is really whether Roxy and Don and Rico and Bill, are their constituents are getting better served by them. And you're probably the best ones to ask that over time. Thank you for answering.
Senator May?
Thank you. Dan, I don't know about your other 19. I really expect great things to happen here over the next couple of years. Because I've never run into a CIO like this guy right here, Clotatis. I've never run into a situation where he has a relationship with EDs and the governor like we have now. We've never had that before. So we're on a roll right now. And I think as Mike gets more control over this thing, you're going to see a lot of pressure on you and your people. Are things we're going to do in those departments to bring those up online. Now, you guys have heard me yelling before that I ran this bill for state agencies, not for counties or cities or whatever. I don't object to that, except their priority to me is behind the departments. The other thing about it is that maybe our, with Evan on the board now, maybe our public relations will get a little bit better. We still are very weak with the legislature, and I think we probably need to get them in a room in there and do some demonstrations of what comes out of the SIPA and what gets done with the Colorado.gov, because many of them don't understand it. In fact, I'd say most of them don't understand it. One question I have for you, Dan, can a department who is operating with credit cards use our payment engine without it being through SIPA?
Without the project being through SIPA?
Well, for instance, there's a lot of credit cards right now operated in various and sundry departments. For instance, over in the natural resources and parks, for instance, you can use your credit card to reserve a space in a Colorado State Park or whatever.
Campground.
Okay, now that credit card, when it's used in there, I don't know if that interfaces with our COFR system or not.
Yes.
To properly credit it to whoever is entitled to that money.
Yes.
It doesn't go through the portal's payment engine, but my understanding is that their payment processor has assisted them in making sure that it gets properly allocated to COFR.
And that's by different departments then, and different department operations rather than through a...
Let me answer a question that you didn't ask. I think that what you're getting at is, can a department that's already accepting credit cards through another processor use the portal's transaction payment engine easily? And the answer is yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions on the report before we move into the financial report?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The financial sheet is in front of you. Again, as I present this same format to you month after month, the real operational information that I would direct your attention to is in the second box. This is the income statement. You see a three-month view there, and what you're really looking for is consistency or maybe some upward growth in the revenue numbers and stability in the expense numbers, and you're seeing that here. We've got very good predictability on our financials with the portal. Revenues will begin to go up as we launch more and more revenue-generating services. Expenses will trend upwards this year probably because we've now got a staff of 20, whereas we started last year with a staff of about 12. But these are very healthy numbers. You see the SIPA revenue share broken out at the bottom of that middle box. And you see the year-to-date numbers.
Could you tell us a little bit about the liabilities line in the balance sheet?
Yes. I've been waiting for several months for somebody to ask me that question. The negative $1,092,000 in liabilities is really, well, a negative liability is an asset. The way most people count assets.
I was wondering how you were saying that. Is just a subtraction or is it a negative quantity?
No, it actually represents cash that's been transferred to the corporate bank account.
Loaned to them?
That they have held in our accessible for us as we need to buy capital equipment and so forth. But this represents, instead of me holding that kind of money in a local checking account, corporate collects it up and puts it in their basket, and that's what that is. I don't know why they call it a negative liability instead of an asset, and I've had that debate with our chief financial officer, and he's readily agreeable to moving it and changing the way we designate that. But that represents an asset for the portal.
Other questions about the financials?
Thank you.
Me too.
Yeah.
Okay, that brings us to other business. Representative Cadman didn't let me know if there was other business. Ms. Grippy, is there other business coming for us today?
Not that I'm aware of, Mr. Chairman.
Senator May?
I had a couple of things that I had annotated on the minutes as we went through them.
The 06, September 6 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the things I had here was the training of the legislature on content management, and it sounds like maybe that's in process. Greg said he was meeting with them. The Senate and House members, somehow, we're just not getting to them. They're not aware of the SIPA. They don't know what's going on with it, and I don't know how you overcome it with those guys. Now, some of them think we have nothing. In fact, there was one today that told me how he was going to redo the world in 5 minutes, and he doesn't know a whole lot about it. I don't know how we get to them over there, but somehow it's got to be in part of their training or their introduction or something.
Dr. Franklin?
Just a suggestion. Start of the session, aren't there opportunities to get members in one place, bring food, drink, you know, whatever it takes to get people to come to an event, and then lay it out with a short presentation followed by, you know, maybe some wall hangings of screenshots and things like that to pique their interest and so forth.
Well, every 2 years, when you get new legislators coming in, there's some extensive training on their laptop and some of that. And I think Greg's aware of that. He's got a plan of how he's going to participate in that. But they don't get that every year. They get it every other year, in essence.
Senator, it is frustrating. We're required by statute to deliver a report annually to the legislature. It goes to the business committees. I spoke with Representative Marshall, chair of the House Business Committee, and I spoke to the staff for Senator Vega and said, you know how you have updates, not in normal committee hours, but usually in the morning for whatever committee you may be on. I offered and asked if I could come and do a presentation on the portal, and I didn't get to. You know, the chair didn't. I'll push harder this year to make that presentation, because I think if we start with the business committees, that's where it should be first.
How about, has something to do with 41, of course, how about we try the presentation that you do, some real interaction like we're doing here at the start of our session, caucuses, the lunch caucuses for the respective House and Senate, both the Dems and the Republicans, and we do those separately. Now, they'll go for a free lunch and or whatever out there, and you can get them in there during the noon hour, and you can get them for 30 minutes, or you can get them for an hour, probably, if you do it that way. And you won't get 100% of them, but you'll get a pretty good crack at them.
Yeah.
Now, I'm the caucus chair right now for the Senate, and I'm not sure who going to replace me at that, but we can sure get on their schedule,
I think,
for both caucuses. How would that be for an approach to it?
That'd be good.
The other problem...
We got to have a bang-up 30-minute presentation that...
The other thing that we've got to overcome is, and Mike and I have talked about this on occasion, our media, newspaper media in particular, in the Med area, are not very friendly to IT. And they've been bombing us now for several years, and that is resonating big time in the legislators. They think everything is a failure, and it hasn't been.
Our more recent press has been more favorable in both news and the Post. I've been working very closely with them, helping them to understand. Plus, we picked up a national track. Some both in government technology and government. So I think you're going to see that improve. I can brief you on that, though. John Conley and Evan Dreyer and I have been working very closely, though.
Well, the legislators have been bombed so much that they have a sour note about it, as you know, and somehow we need to overcome that. I'm not a PR guy, so I don't know how to do it, but I know it's a
Though, from a legislative standpoint, my experience is that it's made new ways of approaching business more receptive to some of the legislative, I think, anyway. So that's just been my experience in conversations around.
I'm still planning on setting up an IT academy kind of thing. Get some of our legislators in where they understand IT a little bit better. Basically, almost every bill they run touches IT one way or another. You know, they can bomb Roxy over there with all these bills that affect her, and she somehow has to pay for what she has to do for it. Hadn't been very coordinated in the past, as you know. Like I know right now, if three license plates come, you don't know that yet. There'll be more, I bet you.
We need more license plates.
Yeah, we don't have enough.
Anybody, anything
I'll
else
see, did
list?
I have another? Okay, we got that. Could we ask maybe Dan to do some closer tracking on the online vehicle re-registration process? Like the total number of vehicles we have in the state, and how many of those get processed every month, and then are we increasing our percentages of online? Could we see a percent like that so that we see that we are, in fact, making progress?
Senator May, I think Becky is working on some new processes at this point, trying to increase the number of reports we're getting. Becky, did you want to add to that?
Bob used to be the CIO over in Natural Resources. I guess Picanso was, no, who else was in there besides you?
Kim. Natural Resources.
Are we doing anything now, are we close to doing anything, I should say, with those guys over there on hunting licenses and fishing licenses?
No.
And all that stuff? Have we got a hang up in there some way? I mean, maybe they're processing tons of them.
They're under contract. They have an existing contract with a provider, both in parks and in hunting and fishing licenses. So
it'll be renewed sometime.
Exactly. And Dan and I had a meeting with a number of folks from DNR last week. And where I'd say that relationship is, Senator, is that we want to make it very clear that we are available as a resource as they need. We have a brand new CIO over at DNR, Leah. Thank you. And so we have a chance to forge a new, better relationship at DNR, and that's the approach we're going to take at it, is be there, be responsive, and help them where we can.
I was going to bring up my business is done. Earlier, when you brought up the balance sheet and possibly investing, corporations require a board-approved treasury policy, parameters and investment guidelines in place, so that we don't actually end up investing in like subprime or something. I just throw that out there, because what it does then is give you guidance from the board on parameters for treasury activities.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And when I first responded to Mr. Aerosmith's comment, I was thinking more like just CDs, something that was insured. But I certainly agree with you on if we're doing something that is not an insured instrument, that we have to have clear policy.
Okay. Any other business to come before us today? Our next meeting will be November 1st. We'll send out an email with some websites so you can go to the map and so forth. We look forward to seeing you in Douglas County next month. And seeing no other business, we stand adjourned.
I don't know where people at all are. They still call it the rain. I just got back in. I was in California all week. Yeah. I just got back in. So I haven't seen the weather.
I just wanted to go to a game, you know, go to a game once a year.
I know a lot of people that are going, yeah.
So, you know, it just, the rain just follows me around.
Where the heck's Cadman? Good beta testers over there.
He owed me an answer on something else. Keep avoiding me.
No. He'll get there. Just keep bugging them.
Where's your next meeting?
I got a meeting with my staff about it for a couple of weeks, but it didn't really give any window of time. I just want to make sure I wasn't exceeding.
I know we're in the development phase. We're going to be doing rules and regulations, so I think it's more information to add. I'll check to see if I need to help frame.
Okay. I just don't want to be late. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Can you tell? I'm just not feeling all that good. Take care. Good to see you. Oh, thank you. I just have to try this. I'll ask all of them.